beneath the wings. Aha, where did that go? That was Happy Little Cloud, the group. And this is WMFO Tufts, and we're happy to have you join us here on the Voicemobile this afternoon. It's pretty springy-like out there, a little bit of a wind. In fact, yesterday there was huge wind last night, so that was interesting. So here's an important message. This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if things get a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is worth more than your life? Why not just ask them to stop texting? It may be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live. Message brought to you by the Ad Council, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Learn more at stoptextsstoprex.org. Well, that's kind of important. And I think they're starting to look at revisiting what the laws are here in Massachusetts as far as penalties for distracted driving. There's something else I wanted to share with you. It's from this wonderful website called Israel 21C or 21st Century. So it's entitled Israel's Surprising Way of Teaching Skills for Innovation. It's true that Israeli kids lag behind in standardized tests, but that's not where the genius of Israeli education lies. It's by Inbal Ariely, and it's dated April 27th of this year. So let me share this with you. I think this is a great article. According to recent research conducted by PISA, Program for International Student Assessment, Israel is in the bottom 40% in mathematics and science. Israel consistently trails behind countries such as China, Singapore, Japan, South Korea, Switzerland, and Austria. Yet, it has the highest density of startups per capita in the world and is ranked number two in innovation, according to the World Economic Forum's competitiveness report. How is a country so successful in technological entrepreneurship, which demands extensive knowledge in mathematics, science, finance, and business, so far behind in math and science education? Andreas Schleichter, Director for Education and Skills and Special Advisor on Education Policy to the Secretary General at the OECD, was asked a similar question when he was in Jerusalem recently for an international conference of education ministers. You don't have more talent than other countries, but I checked it out thoroughly, and I think your secret is that you know how to take advantage of talent better than others, he answered thoughtfully. There is a gap between what is necessary to excel in standardized testing and what is required to succeed as an entrepreneur and innovator. PISA evaluates students based on their ability to provide specific answers on a standardized test. Neither the Israeli education system nor the Israeli culture is good at teaching children to do this. I mean, this is what we're doing here with our MCAS, which drives me crazy. The shortcoming, quote unquote, appears to motivate children to become innovators and entrepreneurs. Across the board, once children are in elementary school, their curiosity and motivation to learn wanes. They are instructed to absorb knowledge for the sole purpose of regurgitating it. Generally, children are not encouraged to ask questions, suggest novel solutions, ideas, or interpretations, or to initiate. Yeah, they don't like that much in most classes. This method of teaching, while standard worldwide, is not particularly engaging or effective. Indeed, the methods used in the Israeli public education system are not any different. However, Israeli culture is highly tolerant of out-of-the-box thinking, even in its educational institutions. Being open to new ideas is a great start, but children must be taught how to come up with new ideas by leveraging their knowledge and then how to push these ideas forward. Unfortunately, these skills are not generally taught in public schools. Luckily, Israel is highly accommodating of informal educational programs, with novel approaches. Gavim Heights and Magshimim Accomplish are two programs that teach us a lot about educating children to become innovators. These extracurricular programs facilitate computer science and cyber learning for gifted children ages 12 to 18. They were initially funded to better prepare Israeli youth for the intelligence units of the Israeli Defense Forces. But today, these programs are partly responsible for educating Israel's skilled high-tech workforce. Adi Sarabani, founder and CEO of SkyCure, an Army reservist and one of the program's instructors, explains, "What we do in these programs is we take a child's ability and we make him or her run with it. The purpose, therefore, is not to teach the kids a certain skill in the sense of how-to. The purpose is the vector, the movement, the progress itself, as opposed to the final goal." Sarabani says their secret lies in making the children get stuck, quote unquote. "We want to figure out how to teach a child to take a skill that he has acquired and apply it to something completely different, how to transfer it to a new area. And the way to do that is by bringing him to a place where he is stuck, where he does not know the answer and no one will give it to him. Therefore, true growth, true teaching comes from that place of not knowing the solution and having to come up with one anyway. This approach goes beyond cyber or coding. It is applicable to all aspects of life. It's about putting oneself in a position where finding a solution is challenging and thought-provoking. The core of the program's success and popularity is based on the idea that true learning comes when one seeks knowledge for oneself." Gilad Lifshitz, a 17-year-old participant in Magshimim, described how the learning takes place. "We are thrown into the deep end without giving it too much thought. We are given basic coding skills, and then we are challenged by complex assignments, such as building a chess game without instructions in an autodidactic way. Daring to solve something on your own is a pillar of entrepreneurship. Equally significant, the programs contradict the image of the teacher as the expert and the inexhaustible source of knowledge." Sarabani recalls, "At first, when we started training school teachers, it looked like it was going to be a complete flop for the simple reason that the teachers did not have enough experience and expertise in the field. But what happened next was fascinating. It created scenarios whereby teachers looked a kid in the eye and said, 'Honestly, I don't know.' This suddenly brings us to a place where teachers and students are actually in dialogue. They are brainstorming. One does not simply feed data to the other. Rather, they both grow together and they reach places no one has been to. The teacher in this approach is not a funnel of facts, but a conveyor of methodology, looking at failures, not successes. Likewise, assessment methods in these programs are radical. Rather than measuring the student's successes, the instructors measure their failures as a better indicator of their learning. If you manage to solve 20 exercises, I, as an educator, have wasted your time. Since you already knew how to solve the exercises, you made no progress. You've learned nothing," says Sarabani. "Making students search for the answers and challenging them to the point of failure prepares them well for startup careers." A few weeks ago, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared the establishment of the National Center for Cyber Education, with an aim to increase the number and raise the level of young Israelis for their future integration into the Israeli security services, industry, and the academic world. In existing cyber education programs in Israel, students mostly learn skills, not specific knowledge. Programs like Gavim and Magshimim demonstrate the extent to which youth in Israel are seen as colleagues. Sagi Bar, former head of Human Capital Development, the Israeli Cyber Bureau, and CEO of Mashkigim, believes it is an attitude that views children as people with an incredible ability to absorb, understand, and deal with challenges. "We encourage their creativity and entrepreneurship, and then we let go and see what happens. They always take it much further than we've ever imagined. Israeli children may not score high on PISA surveys, but they certainly don't fall behind when it comes to learning skills. It's the learning process and not the test results that are crucial. It is not so much what our children know, but rather how they come to know it. So let your kids get stuck. They will always learn something on the way. Inbal Arieli was the lieutenant in the elite IDF intelligence 8200 unit and later took up leading roles in the Israeli high-tech sector. She is a senior advisor to Startup Nation Central and is currently co-CEO of Synthesis. Inbal is working on an exploration of how Israeli culture breeds entrepreneurs from a young age. You can follow her blog or on Twitter, Facebook, and Medium. Well, that was, to me, very, very interesting because I just so don't like teaching to tests. I think it's really ridiculous. They made a big mistake making that the determining factor in terms of graduation. It could be a part of the formula, but not certainly the entire thing. So this site where I found this article is called Israel 21C, the letter C, lowercase. And they have amazing information, which I really find very, very interesting. So that should get us started off. We've got some music to go here. And I'll be playing a lot of Israeli musicians. We just had Israeli... I want to say Israeli Independence Day, but I'm not sure that that's actually correct. I'll find out. But there were two events, Monday and Tuesday. One was Remembrance Day for all the soldiers that have fallen in wars and terrorist attacks in Israel. And right after that, maybe it is Israeli Independence Day. I'll have to look and see. Okay, let's hear some music. This is The Voicemobile at WMFO at Tufts University. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. Grum faya he grum alade takru no bank na punai se grum faya he grum alade takru no bank na punai se.
Yeah.
That was Idan Rachel Project, and it was here we have Brung Fire, Burn Fire, and there's a new single out today, Ahava Kazo, which means a love like this, featuring Zahava Ben. I'm going to see if I can get that to come up on the board. I think I can. Let's see if it will work.
כזו כבר לא מוצאים שמורים בלב שלי שנים תמונות בין שקט בין מילים לב שבור הופך שירים שתיקה הופכת לה למנגינה אהבה כזו כבר לא רואים הולכים לאט ואוחזים ידיים בצידי השביל כולם עוברים אוספים שברים, פיסות חיים, דמעות הופכות לשיר ומנגינה. כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן, אתה קרב ומתרחק, אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך, ושוב בורח, שוב חוזר. אין יום אחד שיעבור, בלי שאחשוב עליך, כמו ירח. קרב ומתרחק אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך ושוב בורח שוב חוזר אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך אהבה כזו כבר לא מוצאים בלב שלי שנים תמונות בין שקט בין מילים לב שבור הופך שירים שתיקה הופכת לה למנגינה אהבה כזו כבר לא רואים הולכים לאט ואוחזים ידיים בצידי השביל כולם עוברים אוספים שברים פיסות חיים דמעות הופכות לשיר ומנגינה כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן אתה קרב ומתרחק אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך ושוב בורח שוב חוזר אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן אתה קרב ומתרחק אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך ושוב בורח שוב חוזר אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך כמו ירח מתמלא ומתרוקן אתה קרב ומתרחק אבל הלב שלי יוצא אליך ושוב בורח שוב חוזר אין יום אחד שיעבור בלי שאחשוב עליך
Wow, what a treat. Her voice is exquisite. Let me share with you what it says about this. It says, Idan Rachel is dedicated to the art of collaboration. And on his new single, he is joined by Zahava Ben, one of Israel's most beloved voices. Rachel has an an innate ability to cast the right voice with each of his compositions. Each song is a different scene from an imaginary film, explains Yadan. I relate to each song as though it is a complete standalone creation, and all the elements have to come together to serve the end purpose, the song. So the voice that performs the song is very relevant. Turning to Zahava was the natural and obvious move from the moment I completed writing the song. They also give the lyrics, so let me share them with you. A love like this can't be found anymore. Secrets stored in my heart for years. Pictures between silence and words. A broken heart turns into songs. Silence turns into a melody. A love like this can't be seen anymore, walking slowly and holding hands. Along the path, everyone passes by, collecting pieces, fragments of life. Tears turn into words and melody. As the moon gets fuller and smaller, you get closer and walk away. But my heart goes out to you, and again you flee, and again return. Not a day will pass without me thinking of you. Now, that was just released today, so you're hearing it for the first time, I'm sure. It's really quite gorgeous. Well, I had the privilege of interviewing Yadan last week. He had a bit of a problem. We were supposed to do this at 3:30, but we didn't connect up until just before I think it was just before the end of my show. And so what happened was we did finally get him on the air. We had a great interview, and my colleague came late. So we had about 15, 20 minutes of his show. We had a great interview. And then he performed at the Berklee Performance Center on Saturday night. And oh my goodness, it was a wonderful performance. Now, he was touring behind his solo album, which I'll play something for you in just a minute. And so, you know, I expected it would just be him. Well, as it turns out, when he started to talk to us, he said that he went to have a coffee across the street from the Berklee, and he said the coffee was terrible. But as a result, he started to talk to these four guys that were there who were Berklee students. And so we found out they were musicians. Anyway, he invited each one of these students up to perform with him on one song, and on four different songs. And each one was fabulous. I mean, they had no rehearsal time. They just plugged in their instruments during sound check to make sure that they would work. And oh my gosh, it was amazing. I wish I had all of their names. I don't. But he had them come up on stage at the end because he only had their first names. One of the musicians played what looked like a mandolin, very round back mandolin. And another musician played guitar. One played drums. And another one from Iran, who he got connected up with through a friend who said, if you're coming to Boston, you have to check this guy out. And he played an instrument, a traditional instrument, and oh my goodness, the sound was extraordinary. It was so gorgeous that he had him stay, Yadan had him stay and do a second song. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience to be at that concert. And he's so gracious. Afterwards, I was hoping to get to see him, to visit a little bit. Well, that wasn't possible to go backstage. Anyway, I come out, and there's a scream. Well, there he is out in front of the Berklee, standing, taking pictures with people, just being so generous. And got to say hello, got to get a picture taken with him. And some people that I had met after the show were also there. They were Harvard students. So it was just a wonderful evening. And he's just the real deal. His music is exquisite. So let me play for you something off of this most recent CD, At the Edge of the Beginning. This is on Kombucha Record. You can go to their official store site and get this new, you can download this new song, and you can also get his CD. So that's, let's see if they have the exact where is it now? I guess you go Kumbancha, C-U-M-B-A-N, Kumbancha, C-H-A. And that will get you to the right place. All right, here we go. Let's see, we want this one. I could have listened to that for a long more. A lot more. I love that. I ought to see if I have the lyrics for that. But I think while I look, well, let me see if I can find it. I did get them off of the website. Let's see. Okay, it should be right here. Here it is in 5 seconds. Oh, good. The Chamash Shiniot in 5 seconds. In 5 seconds, left to live, a full world, a full world. Deep inside the heart, hidden thoughts, a full world, a full world. To look for reasons and to ask questions, to wait for answers, to remember and to forget, to leave, to return, to lose and to keep, to release ropes, a circle closes. Before the night is over and day breaks, a full world, a full world. She sleeps by day, by night, and keeps secrets. A full world, a full world. On Saturdays and weekdays, to sanctify everything and to know from where, so as to continue forward. Deep in the chest, a memory rises. There is a reason why we lived in this world. So beautiful. His lyrics are just absolutely delicious. as far as I'm concerned. I hope you're enjoying them too. So, let's see. We're going to go to... I did bring something I wanted to share with you. Let me see if I can pull that out now. That's not it. Oh, I bet I forgot it. I meant to bring it, and I don't think I did. Huh. Nope, I did not. Okay, well, instead of that, then, we'll play some more music. Just trying to think if there are any events that I wanted to let you know about when I do that. The celebrity... Oh, that's one I wanted to share with you. The celebrity... Series of Boston put on Alvin Alley, the American Dance Theater, and I got to see that show on Sunday. Just extraordinary. The costumes and the dancers. Oh, it was just wonderful. And the music was outstanding. Just, it was just the whole package. So next year when they come, they seem to come every single year. If you're at all into dancing, even if you're not, if you're into music, it's just fantastic. They're a wonderful company, so I highly recommend it. Now, coming up, let's see, in May, the LA Dance Project is coming, and that's at the Box Center Schubert Theater. And, yeah, that was a great event. There's one other event that's coming up. I think I mentioned this last week with Duo Marizian. And that will be on Sunday, April 30th, which I think is Mother's Day, or it's right around there anyhow. Gallant Fantasies, music of Telemann, Baron, Weiss, and Abel. Duo Marizian is Carol Lewis on violas da gamba and Olav Chris Henriksen on baroque lute. But they're performing late baroque works by several of the finest German masters of instrumental music, including newly discovered fantasies by Telemann and Weiss. Now, this is at the Somerville Museum at 1 Westward Road. That's at Central Street in Somerville. They begin at 3 o'clock, and if you want more information, call 617-666-9810 or go to somervillemuseum.org. And it's a very small, intimate setting. I think maybe 30, 40 people max, and they always have a little collation of home-baked foods and goodies afterwards, so it's a very nice place to spend a Sunday afternoon. All right, so let's get some music from Israel.
מכל רוח שוב אליי נפרסו ונמסו מול מגע של ידייך באוזנייך לוחש שואל מי זה קורא לך הלילה הקשיבי נשאר בקול אלייך אל חלונך מי שם נפשו שתי מאושרת מי ישים יד ויבנת ביתך מי תן חייו ישימה מתחתייך מי כאפר לרגלייך יחיה מי יאהבך עוד מכל אוהבייך מי מכל רוח רעה יצילך מי מעמקים
was gorgeous. As I said, I was going to play some music from Israel, and I pulled out this compilation CD, Putumayo Presents Israel, and I intended to play something different, but of course the Idan Rochel project came out, which was totally appropriate, Mima Amakim, so you can hear him in that wonderful group setting. So I wanted to speak a little bit about this whole thing with BDS, which is a movement that has been very antagonistic to the state of Israel. And unfortunately, Tufts University has allowed this organization space to, anyway, to spread its really damaging ideas. I'm going to share this article by Evelyn Gordon. Israel's wrong-headed retreat on BDS, regardless of whether you support or oppose a new law allowing Israel to bar entry to prominent supporters of anti-Israel boycotts, one outcome was eminently predictable. Israel would lack the guts to enforce it, even when doing so was most justified. That was amply proven by Wednesday's decision to grant a one-year work visa to Human Rights Watch researcher Omar Shakir. By this decision, Israel eviscerated the one crucial point the law got right. Despite the many it got wrong. You cannot wage war, an effective war, on the BDS movement while giving the people behind it a pass. As the old truism goes, people are policy. Shakir is the epitome of someone who should have been denied entry, and his case exemplifies why the law's basic assumption that boycotters must be targeted personally is 100% correct. He has given lectures on college campuses in which he accused Israel of being an apartheid state, advocated anti-Israel boycotts, compared Zionism to Afrikaner nationalism, rejected a negotiated solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict on the grounds that it would, quote, institutionalize injustice, unquote, and called for ending Israel's existence as a Jewish state. His resume also includes a stint as a legal fellow at the Center for Constitutional Rights, an organization that provides legal assistance and training to BDS activists and files war crime suits against Israeli defense officials. Nor would discovering all this require any great research skills on the part of government officials. It's all in a handy memo, complete with links that NGO Monitor published in December. Yet, in his new role as HRW's Israel and Palestine director, Shakir is supposed to oversee the production of unbiased, objective reports about human rights violations in Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza. Needless to say, the very idea is fatuous. When someone has already made up his mind that Zionism is racism, Israel practices apartheid and a Jewish state has no right to exist, expecting him to produce unbiased research on the subject is like expecting the head of the Ku Klux Klan to preside fairly over the trial of a black man accused of raping a white woman. Indeed, Shakir will spend his year here producing reports full of vicious anti-Israel slurs. Thanks to the halo effect enjoyed by all human rights organizations, those findings will be treated as credible by numerous well-meaning people overseas and will further undermine Israel in the international arena. In short, allowing Shakir to take up his post will do Israel incalculable harm. Yet instead of doing the minimum research required to justify barring him as an individual, the Border Control authorities made a hasty decision in February to deny him a visa on the sweeping grounds that HRW is an anti-Israel organization. Clearly, accusing an entire organization of being anti-Israel is far harder to justify, even if it happens to be true, which in HRW's case, I believe it is. Doing so without exhaustive research and intensive preparation for the inevitable diplomatic backlash was insane. The predictable result was that the State Department exerted pressure on HRW's behalf, since it's an American organization. And then, instead of retreating to the narrower and more easily defensible position of barring Shakir on the grounds of his clear unfitness for his post, Israel capitulated completely. Thus, instead of HRW being justly embarrassed at having chosen someone so patently unqualified as its, quote, Israel and Palestine director, unquote, boycott advocates were handed a totally unjustified and very public victory. One might think this is simply a case of bureaucratic ineptitude that has nothing to do with the new law, especially since Shakir's visa was initially denied before the new law even passed. But the new law actually makes such damaging outcomes even more likely. Why? Because it differs from the old law, which also allowed prominent boycott advocates to be denied entry, in one respect only. Instead of border control officials needing the Interior Minister's permission to bar a prominent boycotter, they can now do so on their own authority, unless the government intervenes. In other words, under the old law, visas were theoretically denied only in cases where the government had already decided it was prepared to stand behind the denial. By handing this authority over to relatively low-level officials, the new law makes it even more likely that the government will end up beating humiliating retreats from eminently reasonable decisions simply because they were made without the necessary research and preparation. In all other respects, the new law is identical to the old. Like the old one, it applies only to the most prominent boycott advocates. Consequently, it accomplishes nothing except to further increase the likelihood of bureaucratic snafus while also producing a lot of unfavorable publicity, upsetting even many of the country's prominent defenders. giving extra ammunition to people who seek to tar Israel as anti-democratic, and creating unwarranted anxiety among well-meaning people who now fear being denied entry on grounds that aren't even actionable under the law, such as a personal refusal to buy settlement products. If Israel is to fight the BDS movement effectively, even anti-Israel activists like Shakir must be called out as publicly as possible, instead of being allowed to pose as objective researchers, whose anti-Israel screeds should be considered credible, and barring them from entering the country precisely because it's such a high-profile step can be an effective way of doing so. But if Shakir's case is any example, the new law will at best contribute nothing to this essential effort, and at worst may even end up hindering it. This was originally published in Commentary on April 26, 2017, and the article is by Evelyn Gordon. Very interesting. So this whole BDS thing is just very difficult and obnoxious is all I can say. And shame on you, Tufts, for allowing BDS to even function on this campus. That's the point. Okay, well, let's have some more music. Let's see. I think we want to go to this one. Nope. That was not what I wanted. Okay, I think. Well, we'll find out. I'm not sure which deck I put this one in. Let's see. Getting myself a little confused here. Oh, now I'm going to have a problem getting this disc out. One of these players eats my discs. Okay, well, let's play with number one and see what happens.
אל תעצור אותי עכשיו מצאתי סדק יש בו אור אליו אני רוצה ללכת דרכו רוצה לחזור בוא נבנה כאן בית בוא ניתן לילדים לצחוק לפעמים אני חוששת שוויתרת ושאתה מפליג עמוק
must be strong.
Chazak, chazak.